Hi, I'm Jill Johnson, and I'm here with my husband, Mark.
Hi, I'm Mark.
This is our second podcast in a series called Above All, There's Hope. My journey with prostate cancer. Not my journey, but Mark's journey with prostate cancer. So like I said, this is episode two, and the name of this episode is called To Test or Not to Test.
That is the question.
That is the question. Take it away, Mark.
Okay, so we've done the first one, and we kind of introduced the podcast to you. So now we're going to talk a little bit about ourselves because, you know, us, it's all about us.
We're important.
Impotent. We're not important. We're just a couple of ordinary people that are living through prostate cancer, which, again, certainly does present its challenges. So anyway, a little bit about me. I'm into sports. I'm into cars. I'm into sports cars, interestingly enough. And recently, Jill and I were on a cruise around Italy, and one of the original shore excursions was to be a trip to the Ferrari Museum. Sadly, broke my heart. It was canceled at the last minute. However, I was able to pick up a couple of die-cast model Ferraris as we ran into a Ferrari store in one of the towns that we visited. So that's kind of my passion. I wish I could afford a Ferrari. I do have a nice sports car, but it's nothing like a Ferrari. But it's good.
It's a Honda.
Oh, come on. you notice us laughing, and we both love to laugh. But of course, prostate cancer is a very serious thing. And you'll find throughout the podcast that I will oftentimes make light of a very serious situation. I'll have snappy titles for different podcasts, or I may make a joke now and again, or Jill may make a joke now and again, because we're trying to keep a very serious topic light-hearted sometimes, to make it interesting, and frankly, that's how one of the ways I live through it, and that's kind of the way Jill and I live. She's got a wicked sense of humor, which I'm sure she'll tell you in a little while, and a great laugh, and I just love it the way her eyes sparkle when she laughs as well. So, I ran track in high school and a little bit in college. During those times, I had Olympic dreams. However, it was not to be. My hopes were dashed when I turned out to be mediocre at best. But I did love it, and there was that. I recently finished about a 45-year career in the live production industry, primarily as a sound engineer, mixing various things, TV broadcast, live sound, all sorts of different kinds of things. I grew into some other positions, including sound system designer, and I had a memorable opportunity to design the sound systems in a prominent jazz festival, music festival that takes place in Europe on a yearly basis, and I did that for about 10 years running. It was a blast, and I was able to meet some great musical personalities. Some of those turned into some really nice friendships as well, some that I hold today. And Jill and I actually met at our local church, where I was a volunteer on the sound production team, where I did sound for the local services. I think that's probably enough about me at this point. As we go through this podcast, I'm sure I'll reveal more interesting factoids about myself. So, Jill, what about you?
And I'll insert some interesting facts about him, too. What he's not telling you is that this podcast may sound really well because he has designed the sound system here for this. And he has really great gear, and he's had a lot of his gear for this production donated to him by sound companies. And also what he's not telling you is, you know, he worked in Europe. He worked at the Montreux Jazz Festival for over 10 years and worked with some great artists. He doesn't really like to brag about himself, but I like to brag about him. So anyway, that's enough about him. Now, me. I want to tell you about myself. And what I'd like to what I'd like you all to know is that we're not doctors or nurses. We're in no way related to the medical profession. He calls me Nurse Ratchet. And so I like to think I'm good at nursing, but I really don't know a thing about it. I would describe myself as really average. I am just across the board an average woman. I am average, I have an average intelligence. In some areas I'm smart as a whip, and in other things I'm just dumb as dirt. I have average looks, but I clean up pretty well. I'm from a middle class, average family, average dysfunctional family. I'm actually could say that I'm gifted in many areas. I'm talented in many areas, but nothing really above average. The best thing about me, I say, is I love Jesus. I came into a relationship in my 30s, into a relationship with God, and that's been a major turning point in my life and really the best thing about me. I'm the woman that I am today because of God. And let me say, that's my story. It should not affect you. I hope it doesn't affect you. It's not the cause of this. It's not the case for this podcast. And there's no pressure. There will be no religious turn and burn conversations or anything like that. So with that said, out of the way, I would like to say I love to entertain. I like to travel. As Mark said, I like to laugh. I like to cook. I have a passion for decorating. I'm constantly decorating my house. And I love to help other people. I'm a prayer counselor at my church. And what I really like is when people come in who are down and out on their luck or just in heartbreaking situations. I don't like that, but I love that I can talk with them, encourage them, and pray for them. And our job is kind of triage. We like to send people away better than when they came in. So one last thing is that this is not a religious broadcast, but we will offer prayer if you're interested. If you feel like you need prayer, we would like to pray for you. So that's a little bit about me. And as Mark said, you'll find out more about our quirky personalities and as we go along. Thanks.
Right. So, yes, this podcast is it's important to note that this is about our journey and our experiences. So we by no means say that we're experts. As we go on through these episodes, I hope to have experts join us to give expert opinions and facts and figures, but for us, for Jill and I, we're just people that are going through a journey and have gone through a journey for 10-ish years now. So the name of this episode is To Test or Not to Test, and the reason I came up with that title was that, and I had mentioned it in the very first podcast, I had gone to my doctor for just a regular checkup, and I had recently turned 50-something. I can't remember exactly how much. And I said, hey, so what about this prostate stuff? I had read something about it or heard something about it. And I said, so what about, what should I do? And he said, don't worry about it. You seem to check out fine in the digital exam, which basically some of you have already had the pleasure of experiencing that, where they take a finger and check out your prostate. It's not fun, but it's a medical thing. And and he said, you seem to be good. So your prostate felt fine. And the thing about, and he explained this to me too. He took the time to explain it to me, that what was happening in the medical community at that time was there was kind of dissension in the ranks, where there was issues with people overreacting to prostate cancer diagnoses, and that if somebody had been diagnosed as a prostate cancer, they would immediately prescribe some kind of treatment for it, which generally meant radiation or surgery. At those times, any of those were pretty severe treatments that could dramatically affect the quality of life of the person with prostate cancer by incontinence or infertility or something like that. So as we mentioned earlier, prostate cancer is typically slow-moving and non-aggressive. So they would say, why would we wreck these people's lives when there was something in them that was slow-moving, non-aggressive, and probably if they had just let them live their lives without any interference regarding the prostate cancer, they'd be fine. I guess nobody would be the wiser, even though you'd know you'd have prostate cancer. But so the knee-jerk reactions were to treat somebody and potentially really do harm to their quality of life. So it was a valid thought, however, knowing what I know now, I would advocate for the test. The test for PSA, which we said in the first episode is prostate-specific antigen, is just a blood test. So when they're doing a workup on you, it's just another vial of blood. And some doctors do it just kind of out of, just because. So you'll get your PSA test in the blood test. And then you'll know, and whatever the outcome of your PSA test, you can discuss it with your doctor to determine what your next moves would be. I don't consider myself at that time, I was unique at that point, or I am even unique in this case. This year, we can expect about 268,490 men to be diagnosed with prostate cancer here in the U.S. And that's quite a few dudes, you know. And I don't believe that out of that many people, that, again, I would be the only one that would be told by a doctor, you don't need it, you're okay. So I still don't think I'm unique. I That's just kind of the way I'm wired, I guess. And whenever I think about situations that I find myself in, I have to think that I can't be the only one on the planet that's in this particular situation or living through this particular situation. And again, that's just me. Jill, did you have anything to add?
Well, I would like to ask the question, at what age should a man be tested for prostate cancer? And if your doctor doesn't automatically test, you can request a test. So what age would that start for just an average man?
Well, that actually depends. It depends. It depends. So 6 out of 10 people who have prostate cancer will be 65 or older. And it's more prevalent in black men, actually. So the recommendations typically are around, depending if you're African American, or then they would recommend usually starting at around 45. Some people will start at 55. So it's
depends on your doctor.
It depends on family history too. If you have any family history of prostate cancer, then they would recommend that you test. Those are some stats from cancer.net and the Prostate Cancer Foundation. Also, the number one cancer is skin cancer, and prostate cancer is the second most common in men. So it's up there in terms of people being diagnosed with a cancer. So it needs more awareness, it needs more support, it needs more help for people to recognize that prostate cancer is a thing. It is something that needs to be addressed, and awareness needs to be supported. Arose just because one of the things that is good, if you can call anything about cancer good, is that early recognition and early treatment will early detection and early treatment will usually eradicate it and get it out. So the longer it's in you, the harder it is to eradicate it, and that's where the trouble starts. So you want to catch it as early as possible so you can have treatment and get it out. But again, as I was saying, some of the people were kind of overreacting. But
so for I think for men, and maybe the doctors also, they don't really like to bring this subject up. Whereas for women, prostate cancer is as common in men as breast cancer is in women. I think Mark had said that. But for us, when we go to the doctor for our yearly exam or our, I think it's like every other year, they check us for breast cancer. They take us in. We have a mammogram. We get, you know, we get checked. It's not pleasant either. But for men, I don't think it's as customary that they do that. And I don't know if it's the men who are afraid to get tested or the doctors who are just negligent in pushing the issue. With women, they push us. We have to have our mammograms. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the motivation or demotivation is. And again, that's one of the reasons why we're here. We're here to advocate for the men out there to be a motivator, and actually the people who support the men to be a motivator and say, hey, make sure you get checked on at least a yearly basis, especially if you're over 45, or especially if you're African American.
Early detection is the key to getting a grip on this and not having recurrent cancer later on in life.
Right. When I after my surgery, I went in for a follow-up, and my son happened to come with me, and he pointed at my son, and he said, "You make sure you get checked at least age 45." And it like startled my son, and he, yes, sir. So he was really, the doctor was really adamant about the family history thing. The other thing that he mentioned too is that there seems to be some kind of family correlation between prostate cancer and breast cancer. So as a dad with a daughter, I have to kind of encourage my daughter to just kind of keep an eye on that when she goes in for breast cancers and breast checkups and mammograms and things like that. So that's another thing to think of. You know, one of the thing is we've talked a lot about the PSA test, and it's just an indicator that there's something going on there in the prostate, and it's not necessarily an indicator of prostate cancer. There is no consistent indicator of the presence of cancer in the prostate other than a biopsy. So some of the things that might happen to us, like frequent urination, incontinence, difficulty urinating, pain during urination, could all be the indication of other issues. Or there may be no symptoms at all, which was my case. I had no symptoms until they did the biopsy. And I think we mentioned it in the earlier podcast. I lived with those no symptoms with prostate cancer before it was detected for about 10 years. Again, that's a good reason to get checked. Now, in my case, I don't know if I had any family history of prostate cancer. I had the grandfathers on both my mother's side and father's side, both died very early in my lifetime, maybe even before I came to be, and I had heard whispers of it, but in my family, those were things that weren't necessarily discussed. So it's just like, well, you know, your grandfather died, but he had the cancer. And I don't really know what the cancer was, so we just kind of, and of course when you're a kid, you don't really think about it. So those are some things to consider when you're getting your annual checkups. So one of the things about the PSA is that it is classified as essentially undetectable if it's less than 0.1. And that was always kind of strange to me. If you can assign a number to it, how can it be undetectable? I don't know. It's just kind of the way my brain works. And then if you get a PSA score above, less than 0.01. So that's pretty small, 0.01. And then a PSA test above 0.2 is an indication that the cancer has returned once you've had surgery or some kind of treatment. when I went in and my doctor did do a PSA test on me, my score was 7. So again, score, they call it a PSA score. It sounds kind of weird to call it a score. You know, it's football season and you're watching, what was the score? Hey, score! You know, it's, normally you think of score as a good thing in a game, but in this case, it's not so good. Following my surgery, my PSA was low, but not low enough. So then that's when they ordered the radiation for it for me. So the radiation treatment was actually kind of surreal as well. I had to actually, they put tattoos on my hips, little dots on me. When I go in each day, and I had to go in really frequently, I can't remember exactly how many times, it was a long time ago, and some of those things you try to put out of your mind. Jill thinks it was a daily occurrence for about 6 to 8 weeks or something like that. But they would line you up with lasers with these little dots on your hips, in my case, irradiate my pelvis, but it was very focused. So around my groin, they focused the radiation. And it was interesting to me, too, because in the facility where I was being treated, of course, it's a medical facility, and people are going in and out, and patients and people being treated, and there's the staff there. And every time I went in, the staff was kind and courteous, and they all had incredibly good bedside manners, never, you know, like a grumbly day or something like that. And at the end of my treatment, and at that point my PSA was less than 0.01, so at that point it was deemed successful, they released me, and I told them that, you know, what they were doing there was not lost on me, and every patient in that facility was dealing with some potentially life-threatening issues, and they were treating them with kindness and care, and that was important to me when I went in to have that treatment. The other thing, Jill, did you have anything to mention about those treatments or anything?
No, not really. No, the only thing was, I mean, you hear radiation, and the side effect for that mainly was he was just super tired. They just kind of wore him out, but he didn't have pain. It wasn't a terrible treatment. It was just tiring.
Yeah, I would run out of gas halfway through the day. At work, I would sometimes just go in my car and take a quick nap, or I'd come home and I'd go right to bed. It's interesting how it took so much out of me. You never really know. A couple other things I really wanted to mention here. We're running out of time, but after my initial diagnosis, I actually posted something on Facebook, and Jill, and typically, I think, as we mentioned, I'm a very private person, and I don't like to talk about things like that. And Jill had said, why did you want to do that? And I had said, well, a couple reasons. One, I would like people to know that about prostate cancer, and if I can alert people to this, then maybe that's helping. And then the other reason is that I believe in the power of prayer, and I can get people to pray for me. So So, that's about, I think, all I have for this go round, Jill.
Okay.
Do you have, as the last word, do you have anything to add?
Oh, I love to be the last word.
I know.
I love to get the last word in. So I would just say, to test or not to test, we're advocates for testing. And I would say, you know, just be brave and go get tested. Be strong and persevere. One more last word. Episode 3 is going to be called Deer in the Headlights. You've got cancer, so be sure to tune in and hear that podcast. You can also go to our website at www.aboveallhope.com. That's www.aboveallhope.com. Thanks for joining us.